John chapter 7, look if you would at verse 37. The Bible says in verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.'" At the end of the Feast of Succoth, there was a several-day feast. On the very last day, they would take a golden pitcher to the pool of Siloam. The priest would dip that into the pool and fill it with water. A procession following the priest would sing a psalm, and they would go towards the temple, and they would have a pouring out or a drink offering, a pouring out offering. And at this time, we believe, right after the priest is poured out this pitcher of water, this visual right in front of the people, Jesus stood on the last day and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." And he says, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." The title of the message is Filled to Overflowing. Filled to Overflowing. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, would you please guide us in your truth tonight? Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take control over every aspect of this message and do your intended work. Save souls, help Christians. Lord, help us all to be surrendered to you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I remember years ago, there was an extremely healthy, fit, buff guy that invited me to do a workout with him. I thought, okay. He said, "It's only 12 minutes and it's easy." He lied to me. The name of it was Max T3. I thought, Max T3, anything with letters and numbers at the end, that's pretty cool. And so I thought, yeah, I'll do that. I wonder what the max means. Maybe it's maximized. If that's what is the idea, maximized. I wonder what the T is for. I found out. Tortured to the to the third power. Oh, wow. I showed up there. It was going to be on a Saturday morning in July or August, and it was about 8-something in the morning. Well, this is Tennessee, and it was one of those blazing hot days. We weren't going to work out inside. We're going to work out outside on the pavement. He said, "Make sure you bring an exercise mat and a water bottle." I didn't have an exercise mat, so I bought this little thin, like, beach towel type thing. It's like as thin of a piece of paper. And we get there, and I forgot my water bottle. And I'm already thirsty, you know, before we begin this. And I'm reaching around, "Where's my water bottle? I don't know." My wife's going to drop me off. She's going to go shopping in air conditioning. And I'm going to go work out outside. It's already, literally, it's already 90 degrees outside in incredibly high humidity. It's one of those blazing hot days. And I'm reaching for the water bottle. She said, "Well, you can use mine." Hers is pink. I am not going to go over to this guy and show up with this pink water bottle. He's like 3 times my size, you know, and, "Oh, nice water bottle." You know, I'm not going to do that. You know? And so I guzzled water real quickly, and then I left it in the car, and I went into the workout. He said, "Okay, first of all, we're going to do a warm-up. So we're going to do like a half-mile run." Okay, that's not too bad. I have my own, okay. So do it in like moderate speed, not super fast. So we did it, you know, we did some jumpy jacks and some stretching. He said, "Okay, we're ready to go. We're going to do 20 seconds of exercise." I thought, yeah, this will be easy, 20 seconds. We'll have 20 seconds on and then 20 seconds off. Then 20 seconds on and then 20 seconds off. Then 20 seconds on and 20 seconds off. And then we'll switch to another exercise. So, for instance, we'll do 20 seconds of push-ups. And then you'll stop for 20 seconds. And then 20 seconds of push-ups, and then stop. And then 20 seconds of push-ups. And you have to do it, though, as fast as you possibly can. Okay, so we started with whatever it was, push-ups. And I'm going, yeah, 20 seconds, I'm feeling really pretty good. I could be impressive for the first 20 seconds. And that's it. And so you get that 20 seconds of rest. It's amazing how the clock goes so quickly during your rest time. And then you have to do it again. And then you do a third. I'm like, wow, this is something already. And then we moved to the second exercise, like a jumping lunge, not a regular lunge, but a jumping lunge. And then you got all these other jumping exercises, and we're doing new exercises I've never heard before. We're doing burpees. I thought babies did them, and now I'm doing them. And we're doing all kinds of stuff, and I am absolutely dying of thirst. I am so thirsty. I'm starting to see spots. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going, whoa, this is not good. And he said, okay, we're going to take a break. I thought, wait, we just did 12 minutes of exercise. I thought it was done. It's 12 minutes three times. And he said, we're going to take a break for 60 seconds. That is not a break. And he said, we had 60 seconds off. Then we repeated all those exercises, surge training, fast as you can. And we did it a second time. Oh, I'm just dying. We did it a third time. And then he said, we're going to take a break. We'll have a bonus round. This is not bonus. By the end, you know, we're trying to do push-ups. I'm on my knees doing girl push-ups. And I'm going, ah, you know. Oh, it was so embarrassing. And I was so thirsty. Literally, it was 2 or 3 days later. And I could still tell that my body had not recuperated. For 24 hours, I felt that I could not get enough water. I came to the place where I was so intensely thirsty. Jesus, after they pour out that water, that pitcher, that drink offering, signifying the Holy Spirit, says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. We need to be thirsty for the Spirit of God to flow through us in power. But what is stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit and His power in your life? Look, if you would, and let's understand some truths of what Jesus is inviting us to do tonight. First of all, let's notice this. The water represents the Holy Spirit. Number one, the water represents the Holy Spirit. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But look, if you would, all the way to verse 38. It says, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then he explains, look at verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's understand, this is representing the Holy Spirit that's going to come. Jesus is on earth. When he is glorified, he ascends to heaven. He is going to send another, a comforter. The Holy Spirit will come in this ministry, the Holy Spirit, this ministry and an age of revival in these last days that started then and continues until now that we're in, is the age of the ministry of the reviving presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we see this, this is representing the matter of being filled with the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. It is talking here, not that the same as the John chapter 4 passage, and we're going to see that in just a second. You see, notice, first of all, the quality of the water. What kind of water is this? This is, look in verse 38. It says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here is living water you're filled with to be able to affect others. Where else did this living water did the Lord Jesus talk about it? Look at John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we see this living water. That is to water that is unto life eternal. If you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you do not know heaven is your home. If your sins are definitely forgiven, tonight you need to pay attention to what Jesus is saying in John chapter 4. He's going to explain what the living water is all about. Look at John 4 and verse 10. It says this, Jesus answering said unto her, he's speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well that he met. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, that's very important, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now stop right here. Here is Jesus, and he's going through. He says, I must needs go through Samaria. The Jews would normally bypass Samaria. They were lower on the social status. Jesus wants to evangelize and reach every single people group. no matter what their social status, no matter what their color, no matter what their income level, Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The gospel is for the entire world. The Great Commission isn't for a select few. It's not a demographic that we choose. It's for every single individual, every single eternal soul. And he goes through Samaria, and at noon he meets a lady there at the well. Why at noon? Typically, the ladies would go early in the morning. Maybe it's because some authors and commentaries say perhaps it's because of the social status again. She's going during the heat of the day to avoid the embarrassment of other ladies going there at this time. But nonetheless, he meets her there. He says, "Give me to drink." So she's there, and he asks her for a drink. Then verse 11 says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast said, has nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou this living water?" He says, you know what? I asked you to give me to drink, but I'm going to offer you the gift of God, which is living water. Not just regular water, not this right here, but living water that you cannot have. But she says, you don't even have a cup. You don't have a bucket. You don't have something with a rope on it to dip down to the well and draw it up. How are you going to give me water? He's not talking about physical water. He's talking about spiritual water of eternal life. Now look, if you would, at verse 12, it says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof of himself and his children and his cattle?" Well, yes, he is. Verse 13, "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of the water, of this water shall thirst again." It's regular water. But look at verse 14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into life," or everlasting life. Here is this living water that'll spring up. He says, if you know the gift that I have, it's eternal life. It's through me. If you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, yes, the Holy Spirit comes to move inside, and he gives you this living water that you will never thirst again. She said, well, I know. They go through the conversation, and he's talking to her, and she's starting to realize that this is not a regular man. He knows about my sins. He knows that she's been married 5 times, and the man that she's living with now is not her husband. Folks, we're going to reach people just like the Samaritan woman. Jesus was going to the lowest. There is no sin, there is no person that God does not love and that he cannot forgive. And as he goes here and he goes to her, he knows her sin, and in spite of her sin, he wants to save her soul. And she goes, well, I know that there's a Messiah that cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will teach us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am that Messiah. Jesus is the only way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The living water is through Jesus Christ. Will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight? Will you realize this, that this world will leave you thirsty? It will not satisfy. Sin never satisfies. The temporal never gives eternal satisfaction. This living water is only through Jesus. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Have you taken of this water, not just physical, but spiritual water, and say, okay, I need eternal life. I need that water so I won't thirst again. I need the person of Jesus himself to be my Savior and to come into my life. Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's very clear. The Bible throughout the scripture says to believe on him. The decision is to believe. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, it says in verse 15. John 3 and verse 15, just one chapter previous, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's believeth in him. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see it's believe? Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because they had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Will you believe in Jesus Christ tonight? Place your faith upon him, trusting Jesus as your only Savior. The water represents the Holy Spirit. We recognize, first of all, the quality of the water. It's living water. But in John chapter 7, let's notice as well the quantity of water. Notice the quantity of water. Look back in John chapter 7. It says in verse 38, John 7 and verse 38 in our passage, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not a river, but rivers. Now notice, someone who's thirsty can come to God and say, God, I'm thirsty. And he can fill us, so there's a flow of a river, a quantity of river. This is miraculous. This is incredible. Think of some of the rivers. How about the Ohio? The Ohio River, you cross the Ohio River. If you're on Interstate 65, you get to leave a donation now for that nice new bridge. And so you get to be able to cross that and see the Ohio River. How about the Colorado River? I've been to Grand Canyon. I hiked down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It's one thing I will never do is to jump in the Colorado River. There have been many, there's even a youth group from a church that they were hiking down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. They got there to the bottom. There's three teenagers that beat the rest of the group. And they dropped their packs. They took off their shoes. They said, let's get in the Colorado. It's so hot. They got in. The water is so quick and so strong and so swift. It just took them away. They were never seen again. It's powerful. But how about the Mississippi River? Been to Minnesota, where the headwaters are, in Park Rapids, Minnesota. I've had revival meetings in this little bitty town. And as we're there, we get to see the headwaters. And I have crossed the mighty Mississippi. It was about as wide from the pulpit to the piano. We rolled up our jeans and we walked across. And one preacher's friend said, well, what if we stopped it up right here? We could dry up the whole Mississippi. And it's just really shallow. It's just the headwaters. It's the very beginning. It's the source of it. And it goes through, and of course, several other rivers and tributaries feed into the mighty Mississippi. But here is the idea. This ministry, the Holy Spirit, is the ministry we're going to see later, is the power of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. We're not just the Ohio, not just the Colorado, not just the mighty Mississippi, but rivers of living water flowing through us out to others, impacting others. Are you having that type of impact in the life of others? Can others come to you and say, that person's refreshing? Oh, wow, there's something about them. I want to be near them. Unsaved may not agree with your standards. They may not agree with what you say from the Bible, but they know there's something there. There's life. There's something different in you. There's something, what is it? It's a river of living water flowing from the Holy Spirit out. Notice, first of all, this water represents the Holy Spirit. Let's notice, secondly, the invitation is for the Holy Spirit's power. There is an invitation here. What is this invitation? Okay, look at the invitation. It's threefold. In John 7:37, it says this, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me. First of all, if any man thirst. You know, there wouldn't be any better word to describe desire than thirst. Thirst is a craving. It's incredible. You have this thirst and it can be so intense. It can be so strong. I talked about my exercise and, you know, me thirsty, and I thought I was going to die of thirst, but I wasn't. John and Bill Rice's book, Cowboy Boots in Darkest Africa, he tells a story where he almost literally died of thirst. It's incredible. He woke up that morning. He was already suffering with malaria. but he didn't know it. And he was trying to get on his boots, and his feet were swelling, and he was just having a hard time, but he was suffering from malaria. He was incredibly thirsty. He asked one of the natives, he said, "Would you go get me some water?" Came back several minutes later with a cup, metal cup, and he looked down and he saw some dark liquid. He said, no, not coffee, water. No coffee, water. He said, "This is water." He said, "No, thank you." It was so disgusting, it was dark. He would not drink of the disease and filth-infested water. And so he went through that day. They were supposed to go into the bush, and they were going to go into two hunting teams. He was going to take one group of natives, and the missionary Paul, was going to take another group of natives, and they were going to hunt bush buck for their meal. They were out in the bush. They had to survive this way. And so as they're heading out, he goes, and he's so thirsty, and he's so unsteady. He's trembling. He can't keep his rifle steady. And they see a bush buck. And you read the book. It's incredible. The distance and the number of yards. It's well over 100 yards. And he didn't have sights like we do today. And he had to steady the rifle on a large rock. He got the bush buck between the sights. With one squeeze of the trigger, it fell. Juana Paul and his natives heard the one shot, realized they got the game, and so they came up to him. As soon as he came up, Bill said to Paul, "Where's the water?" Paul said, "We don't have the water." Paul was always joking. He said, "I'm not joking, Paul. I'm sick. Something's wrong with me bad, and I don't know what it is. I need water desperately. Where's the water?" He said, "Bill, we thought you had the water." Both hunting teams thought the other one took from the camp. They're 3 to 4 hours walking from the hunting camp, and so they started to head back. He said, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to dress the deer very quickly, and then we're going to start heading back. If we don't have water, we're all going to die out here in the bush. And Bill, if you can keep up with us, that'd be great, but we cannot stop for you. We're all going to die. If we can get to the camp, we'll get the water, and we'll come back to you if you can't keep up with us." He didn't know this at the time. He found out later that Paul sent two natives to run ahead to try to get the water. They got lost. Two natives. It was such a dense vegetation and jungle. As he's heading behind the trail of men and they're hiking back to camp, he could feel himself getting weaker and weaker, and he starts to drag behind. He's getting further and further back, and he notices it, and he tries to hurry his steps, and then again he feels himself going further and further back, and he says he feels his lips, and they're puffy, and they're swollen, they're cracked and bleeding. His tongue is so thick, he has cotton mouth, he cannot swallow, he cannot make one swallow. He said he felt dizzy, and he would sometimes he'd hear a thud, and he'd realize it was him hitting the jungle floor. And he'd rise to one knee and to another knee and then bring himself back to, and he'd run to catch up. He said, "I felt my internal organs shutting down." He was dying of dehydration. He said, "What would I give for one cup of water? My six shooter, my rifle, my car back home, anything." That is the type of thirst. Folks, when are we going to get away from all the distractions of this temporal world and get so thirsty that we say, "Dear God, we need you more than anything. We need you to show up. I need you and your power. I need your Holy Spirit to help me. And God, I want it more than money. Lord, I want it more than ambition. Lord, I want it more than my selfish gain. Lord, I want it more than anything else." Are you thirsty for more in your Christian life? What's stopping you? What is stopping you from making an impact in the lives of others? Are you even thirsty tonight? You know, this is a thirst that continues and can grow. You know, you drink a lot today, and I drink a lot of water. You know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to be thirsty again. This thirst here isn't the thirst of eternal life. Once you have eternal life, you always have it. This is the thirst of having the Holy Spirit flow through us in His power, His impact, and His ministry through our lives. And it should be daily. The Bible says, "Hunger, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled." The idea is hungering. He that keeps hungering, he that keeps thirsting. It's not just one time. I eat. Ever eat a meal, a big one? Yeah, we ate a big one even today for lunch. Ever eat a big meal? You're like, I am never going to put another bite in my mouth as long as I live. And then the next meal, you're going, you're looking through the cupboards or you're looking in the refrigerator. It has not even hardly been any time at all. Do you still have that constantly? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for God. And if we are, we're continually, we will be filled. That's a promise of God. Are you thirsty tonight for more? Folks, I want more. Would you join me in that? And I believe there's a group of people here that do have a heart for God, that do want to see souls saved. You do want to have God work through our hearts and our lives. But we think, man, we've gotten to this intense desire. Boy, these are intense days, and they are. Boy, this is incredible. And God is saying, yes, now you're getting it. Now you're starting to focus. Now you're starting to see all the other non-essentials. He says, if any man thirst, you have this desire. But then it says this, let him come. Let him come unto me. Here is the right source. Jesus is the only source. Come unto me. Come unto Him for the power. Come unto Him for your satisfaction. Folks, this world will not satisfy. You could have more money. You can have more in retirement. You could be all set. You could have a nicer car. You can have that room addition you always dreamed of. You could always have that larger house. You could have the house paid for. You could have everything this world and materialism could afford you and still be empty. It'd be unsatisfying. Imagine if you did have all that. You had cars paid for, nice ones. You had larger house than you have now paid for. You had everything. Boy, beautiful. Man, you could retire early. And you lived for the here and the now. You got to eternity. What would happen? You'd realize then, I didn't come to the right source. No, I wrote down, my wife gave me a hard time, on a napkin, just last week. I said, what do you want in 20 years, what do I wish I would have done? In 20 years, 66 for me. I'm 66 years old, and I'm sitting there, I go, what do I wish I would have done? I wish I would have eaten right. I wish I would have exercised. I wish I would have, you know, been more frugal with my money and saved for the long term. You know, I wrote these things down on the napkin. Why don't we add it maybe 30 years? In 30 years, what do you wish you would have done? Let's go ahead and do 40. In 40 years, what do you wish you would have done? Let's go ahead and go 50. Now we're getting scary, aren't we? Because many in this room will not be here. You probably including myself. I don't know. In 50 years, it's more than I've lived now. Okay? You know, in 50 years, if my life is over, I'm really not going to be thinking about what I ate or if I exercised. What will I be thinking about? Let us come to the right source right now. You know, I've lived long enough where I realize I've seen people way past my age, and I want to do things that count. I don't want to do things I regret. You know, in heaven, Lord Jesus is going to wipe away our tears. It'd be tears. He's going to have to wipe them away. You know, when we come to the right source, I remember growing up, we would go on the way to church, and we'd take every container, every old milk jug that we have, rinse it out, and we'd go up to this artesian well. We'd fill it up. We'd always go back to that one source. Man, it was the best drinking water. It was tremendous. Man, we'd fill it up. Any more? No more containers. We got them all filled. We filled the trunk with all these containers of water. We came to that one source. Have you been going to the wrong source? Why are you not having the thirst for God to do more in your life? It's because of social media, movies, the distractions of materialism, entertainment, the wrong type of music, temptation from this temporal world. You've been duped. Right now, we need to say, dear God, help me to get back to the right source. We'd say to anybody else, Jesus is the only source. He's the only one. He's the only one that can save you. Then why would we go anywhere else to have anything of eternal value or a satisfaction? Come to the right source. If any man thirsts, have a desire. If any man, let him come unto me. Go to the right source. And then it says, and drink. You have to drink. I believe the drink is connected with the verse 38. He that believeth on me. When you're drinking, you're taking it in for yourself. I could say, boy, this is a great water bottle. This is a tremendous water. It has what, 16.9 ounces here? Yeah, 16.9 ounces. Purified water, enhanced with minerals for taste. And boy, this is tremendous. And wow, I go through all the details and the bottling of this. It was some, guy who couldn't speak English with a water hose. So it's all pure and it's good. And boy, I just talked about this water bottle and it sits here the entire time. Does it do me any good? No. I have to drink. I take off the lid, crack the seal, and I do what every preacher does that you hate. They drink in front of you. You are no, you're talking about water the whole time. Now, I drank of this water bottle. Did you? No. You see, you have to drink for yourself, and I have to drink for myself. When I'm saved, I trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Drink of the living water. If you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior tonight, take the drink. Believe on him. Say, I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for me, to save me personally. I'm trusting him to forgive me of my sins. Then as a Christian, go back to him and say, dear God, I need to be filled with the Spirit so now I can be a channel in which you can flow to others. It's not me, but now the flow goes to others and they can drink themselves. We don't make them. We can't drink for them. Each one is individual, but there is that decision of believing, coming to that faith. It's a dependence upon the Spirit to do what we cannot. If any man thirst, that's desire. Let him come unto me. That's the right source. And drink, that is believing. That's the invitation that he's inviting us to do. And what are the mighty results? The results of being filled with the Holy Spirit and his power are incredible. Notice this, if you will. It says in verse 38, and he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly. Notice the direction. It's from the out. Now, that's kind of funny for us, and especially young people here, as out of his belly. It's kind of weird, isn't it? It's okay, all right? It's an analogy. It's a picture here of drinking, and then now from us is a flow outward. Notice it's not coming this way. If you're going through your life and you're going like this, I want money, I want this, I want that, and you're with yourself with your time, yourself with your possessions, yourself with your finances, yourself with your whatever, and you're going through and you're trying to get as much as you can, you are going to be the most unhappy person on this planet. The key to the happiness is giving and giving and giving. Giving of time, giving of self, giving of finances, giving to others. We are here for others. I challenge you to try to serve God without serving people. You cannot do it. It is God's design for us to be used of others. Is your focus on other people? Out of his belly, here is this incredible thing. And so overflow. So flow, here's this I'm filled. Look, I come to God so thirsty. God, I need myself to be filled. And then he fills me, and then it keeps going to overflowing. And now this overflow impacts others. It's like the Nile River that overflows at harvest each year. Every year, the harvest waits for the Nile to overflow its banks, to get that moisture and that water into that soil, and then it has all the nutrients and all the moisture there, and then the harvest flourishes. There are people out there waiting for you to be filled to overflowing, but you're full of self. You're full of temporal things. You're full of sin, and that's what's stopping you. There are so many sins I haven't even preached on, but you would know them. And they would stop the smallest of them, of selfishness and of the wrong desires, would stop the Holy Spirit from flowing through you and like he wants to. Here is this idea of this floods overflowing, a flood. A flood covers the low places. It covers the bad places. It covers everything. This is the idea of this a flow of love from the Holy Spirit being overflowed in our life, love towards other people, people in the low places, people on the rough places, people all over. It's a constant flow, a constant flow. I used to illustrate for a long time just simply being filled with the Spirit as like being filled with the water bottle. You're filled and then you drink throughout the day and then later you're empty and then you come back and say, God, can you fill me again? No. We're not independent. So I believe a better analogy, a better picture would be that of a water hose. Here's my favorite water hose. It's cut off on this end, and it's smashed on this end. A church bus in Ohio smashed it for me. You know, we're not like a water bottle. We're more like a water hose. I went to the trailer, and I turned on the faucet. You know what came out? Nothing. Because the church bus ran it over. And now the water's flowing out in the parking lot. It's not flowing through the channel. What had happened? I came disconnected from my source. Okay, now as soon as you do, what happens to your water hose? Is it still filled? It's empty. It's dry. Could you imagine going and trying to water your flowers without your water hose connected to the faucet? Water in your garden, water in your flowers. Neighbor passes by, wave. I told you those church people were strange. Look at that. Why is it not working? Man, why are my flowers dying? Why aren't they growing? Well, I can't understand it. Because you've been disconnected from the source. Man, I'm trying. I really am. Brother Miller, I go on bus visitation. Oh, yes. And I do go as much as I can. I'm trying to get plugged in as well and go on some of the soul winning opportunities and door to door. Yeah, I do that. And I go and I try to invite other people. And I tell them different things. And I say different stuff. And I'm going. And, man, I just keep trying. Why isn't it working? Why isn't anyone responding? Why is there just death? Where's the life? It's because they're empty. You know what? This is a very frustrating place to be. And I've been there too many times. I've tried to do this. Chris Miller's doing that. You work hard. Do your best. Try harder. Strive more. No. When we do that, it's empty. It's like we're disconnected from our source. We say, we got it from here, God, and here I'm going. I'm working for God. You can do all of this, and it comes to absolutely nothing. It must be the Spirit of God. We must be connected. We must have a constant flow in to be able to have the constant flow out. And as soon as I have the constant flow in, that water keeps coming. Do I have to worry about it? No, I just have to worry about not watering this area too much because the water keeps coming. Whoa, I'm flooding that one. I need to come over here. Whoa, the water keeps flowing as long as I keep connected. It's not me struggling. It's not me trying. It's me depending upon the source. That's the believing part. And then the natural flow is of the Spirit of God flowing outward. Are you living your Christian life by self-effort, self-dependence? You trying real hard. You just cut off your source and there's nothing coming out. You know when Jesus, when the lady touched him by secret and she was healed, he said, virtue has gone out of me. He recognized there was an outflow. He himself said, the words that I speak unto you, they're not my words, they're the Father's words. The works that I do, they're not my works, they're the Father's works. He was a channel to represent an example for us. We need to be a constant channel as well. And as long as we're connected, we have the flow. But sin, clog it up. Unbelief, trying our hardest, doing our own part, disconnected from the horse, the source. And some of us are just like this water hose right here, empty. Just say tonight, dear God, I've been trying and I've been struggling. I've been working. I need to be filled with you. I need to come. I need a thirst, first of all. Some of you don't have the right desire tonight. You say, dear God, give me the right desire, an intense desire. I need to come to the right source, Lord Jesus. And I need to drink. And I need to be constantly drinking, continually, be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have that channel flow through me. That's the only way I can have an impact on others. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you need to be saved. Would you take the drink? I can't drink for you. I'll pray for you tonight in just a moment. But you're going to have to open it. You're going to have to drink from the source yourself and say, I believe. I believe. Jesus died for me. He's my Savior. I'm trusting Him for me. Will you do that tonight? Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give us guidance in this invitation? Lord, help us to simply follow you in obedience. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, let me ask, first of all, if you're here and you say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. I've not taken of this eternal life, this living water. I'm not saved from my sins. I'm not saved from hell. And preacher, would you pray for me? If you'd like for me to pray for you, say, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Jesus, but I need to. Can you raise your hand just right now, just high enough where I could see it, and let me pray for you right where you're seated, right where you are. I'll pray for you. I will not embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Let me ask this. Who here would say, Brother Miller, I know one thing for sure. I have taken the drink. I have had the life eternal. I know Jesus is my Savior. I've trusted Jesus. I know if I died right now, I'm on my way to heaven. If you know you're on your way to heaven tonight, can you raise your hand all throughout the room? All throughout the room. That's fantastic. You can place your hands down. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand tonight, thank you for being honest. Or perhaps you're hesitant. If you do not know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, say, I don't know if I died, if I go to heaven. If you don't know for sure about that, would you let me pray for you right now by slipping your hand up? You say, I don't know, preacher, if I died, if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure about that. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Real quickly. Real quickly. Okay, let me ask finally. Dear believer, do you need a thirst? Do you need to come to Him? Do you need a drink? Is there some sin, some self, some worldliness that you need to deal with? Do you need to say, I need to have this type of desire? God has spoken to me. I want to accept His invitation tonight. One of these three areas. I need to desire. I need to come to the right source, or I need to believe and drink, and I need to be filled. I've been dry. I've been empty, but God's spoken to me. I want to be filled to overflowing tonight. If that's you, can you raise your hand throughout the room? That's me. God bless you. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. You can place your hands down. Would you look this way? Would you tonight respond to the Lord as a believer? In a moment when we stand, I'll pray. As soon as we finish praying, we'll have the pianist play. On the first note, would you step out and just say, I'll be obedient. Dear Spirit of God, I need you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, as others are coming, would you come and see one of these gentlemen here, and they'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Would you stand with me out of respect of God's? Lord, I pray that you'd help us right now. Would you please work in our hearts and our lives? And Lord, I ask that you'd help each one, Lord, right now that raised their hand, each believer, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be filled with you. Dear God, I need you. I need you every hour. and I'm thirsty for you. I'm thirsty for more. My hand is up. Lord, I need you, and I need you to make a greater impact. And Lord, I want to experience what you talked about in John 7 in a greater way. Lord, these dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, may they come tonight and make these same decisions. Lord, change their hearts and their lives. Lord, if there is one here that does not know Christ, help them to tonight know for sure they're on their way to heaven.